latest conditions and more on our website at newsforce247.com. For the NewsForce weather team, I am Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.
Monday morning to all you fine folks. It's Adam Lepp here, live in the studio. How about that for major coolness? It is a nice wintry day outside, and if my calendar is correct, it is January 25th, and goodness jeepers creepers, it's been a month since Christmas. You know, folks, 2020 seemed like it went kind of slow, as it was the perpetual twilight zone, and 2021, which I've taken to call 2020 Part 2, or 2020 Encore, going by kind of fast, and that's cool. We've had almost five full days of the Biden-Harris administration. Certainly quite a change. You know, I lived to see the change between James Earl Carter, the fourth, I think that's he was the fourth, and, of course, Ronald Reagan. That was a big change in administrations, but I think it is trumped, so to speak, by the Trump and Biden switchover. We're going to talk about multiple things here. I do have a local semi-celebrity in the studio with me who does a lot for the arts community, as I previewed earlier. We're going to talk about art, probably tell a few jokes, and whatever other trouble we can get into. I am live on Facebook video. I see we already have two listeners, and isn't that fantastic? So if you're a Facebook friend of mine, and Adam Lepp or Adam the Computer Guy, do you want to thank Jared? He's actually called the station before. So Jared, if you want to call again, feel free to do so, because you're an interesting dude. He's up in the great city of Mansfield, known for Morgan Freeman and that wonderful movie, one of the best movies ever, The Shawshank Redemption. Also want to thank Joshua for watching. I'm not quite sure where he lives, but it's somewhere here in the great United States. And again, feel free to call. We can talk about anything. We can tell jokes. Or we can also do music trivia. You know, I'm kind of a hotshot thinking that any song from 1973 until 1987 that I know, R&B, country pop, hard rock, yacht rock, soft rock. So feel free to sing or recite a few bars and see if I can guess the tune. Because I tell you, I'm pretty sharp today. I've had enough coffee, so I think I can do it. And what's the phone number, you might ask? It is 740-383-9944. And Joshua has informed me that he lives in Reading, Pennsylvania. Joshua, aren't you impressed that I know how to pronounce Reading, not reading? I can actually read it, and I can pronounce it properly. So welcome, one state east, beautiful state of Pennsylvania. Thank you for watching. And again, Jared, also a regular listener, longtime virtual friend of mine. Thanks again for tuning in. Again, under Adam the Computer Guy is my Facebook, and I invite you to watch. And don't mind giggling a few times. It's okay. I don't really look that good in the morning, but that's part of the fun. It's called The Face for Radio. And you can listen to our station anywhere in the world with an internet connection at our website, WWGH1071.com. Or if you're in the great city of Marion, within a 10 or 15 mile radius, we are frequency modulated 107.1 on your FM dial. Want to talk a little bit to our in-studio guest, and again, we're taking phone calls. Don't worry about calling and interrupting. You can ask him questions about the great artwork that he does. You can talk politics. Even if you don't agree with me, that's fine. As you follow my Facebook, you're probably aware that some of my opinions are a bit strong. It may not be consistent with others' opinions, but that's okay. Everybody agreed the world would be extremely boring. So feel free to call if you want to debate or you want to tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me that I'm crazy. That's cool. 740-383-9944. In my studio across from me, we have a local guest. And again, he does a lot for the community in terms of art. I'm a big supporter of the arts. I can't draw a straight line. I mean, I have trouble painting over something with whiteout. But this gentleman has done artwork all over the great city of Marion. Quite a talent, and like myself, not afraid to spew forth an opinion. So, mystery celebrity guest, why don't you sign in? Tell me your name and tell us why you are a semi-local, somewhat important, interesting celebrity in the great city of Marion. Can you talk a little bit louder? Let's try to do a mic check here. Just Yeah, a little louder to the mic. Yeah, the green microphone.
William Obinar.
Okay.
Did you hear that one that time?
Yeah, a little close to the mic and a little louder.
William Obinar.
That's fine. I actually had the wrong mic thing up, but that's my fault. Actually, Scott told me it was number three, but it's number four. So go ahead, William.
You know, you always have one, much two, three, perfect, or perfect. Four, so,
and we,
you know.
Already decided, you know, I'm a little jealous, William, because Adam doesn't have any nicknames. I mean, some people call me A, you know, or just, hey, you. But, see, with William, there's about six different nicknames you could have.
Yeah, that's
but
a little...
But what's interesting is you don't like Bill, Billy. You don't like, you know, Wills. That kind of sounds British. You just like to be called William.
Yeah.
Because Adam or Scott, you know, Scott could be Scotty. His mother calls him Scotty.
Yeah.
But it's like me. There's no nickname for Adam. Jared, my friend there in Mansfield, there's really no nickname for Jared. Maybe Jay, but he goes by Jared as far as I know.
Well,
but you don't. You have all these nicknames, but you don't use them.
Could be Adam Up, you know.
Yeah, Adam 12. Once when I was in school, my teacher called me Adam 11 because Adam 12 was popular then, and I was 11. So anyway, let me just shut up because I just am yapping due to too much caffeine. Tell us, William, what is it that you do in Marion that's made you so popular and a semi-celebrity, and what are you doing to beautify this great town?
Well, right now, about 2019, started doing some actual exterior mural spaces and sort of caught the public's eye. What we want to call jewel in front of the Paisley Peacock for Jenny Collins, downtown Marion, and then Marcella had seen that and asked me to help her redo the interior space in her place at Berry's restaurant downtown between the Brickyard and Topped and the Paisley Peacock. That was sort of fun, doing a cityscape and sort of a Buenos Aires cityscape and scripting of her logo and things, and having fun there. Then I also did Erica Jury's Brave Woman recreation of her logo inside of her entrance area, and then that also, doing the interior space for Marcella, also led to a Korean War mural that's going on right now in the county building at 222 West Center Street, inside the county building towards the direction of the auditor, treasurer, and engineering area of the county building. It's taking a while, but it's all worth for a local veterans post. And my next one looks like it'll be ending up being Stages of the Butterfly, but I won't disclose any more than that, although there's some exterior murals that I'm looking forward to doing this coming summer, fall, or depending upon, you know, since there's only one me, myself, and I that is able to do these projects, and for the moment, with the lack of funding, but, you know, one day at a time in this world. But just having fun.
We put you on camera there, William, so people could see you.
Just having fun these days. And
sometimes with artists, you don't really know what they look like, and you want to put the face with the voice with the talent. William, did you get formally trained in art? Did you kind of come out of the womb with a paintbrush and artistic ideas? Or how did you hone your artistic skills from childhood and adulthood?
My grandmother and grandmother Urbanar, my dad's mother, really was an artist, and she really encouraged me, along with her sister, who I want to call Aunt Frida Thorpe. She was married to Jim Thorpe and had...
Jim Thorpe, the athlete who six different sports that he played?
Yes, yes.
Well, isn't that major course?
Yeah, yeah. So there's that. I've also managed to... I've done a lot of food and beverage training, and actually took care of Bush at... had to get certified to take care of and wait on President Bush.
That was Bush number two?
Yes. Back...
What was he like?
Did you interact with
George, how you doing? Or what do you just say? Mr. President, I'm so pleased to meet you, and you bow your head. What do you do when you meet the President of the United States?
You know, he was in conversation, so it's a little hard to break in a conversation when there's somebody already conversing. So, you know, you just sort of work around what you have to do.
Okay, when, just wasn't quite sure. You didn't meet Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney.
No.
You don't want to go hunting with Dick Cheney.
No. No. Definitely not. No.
That's kind of my joke is Hunter has become kind of a bad word for presidents. We have Hunter Biden. We could do a whole show about him. And we have hunting with or Dick Cheney, who's a hunter, but really not a very good one. He probably should stick to vice presidency.
Exactly.
We're live in the studio here in the beautiful city of Marion, Ohio, on West Center Street. WWGH Radio, and WGH does stand for Warren G. Harding. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with a program that we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break, also broadcasting online. I want to thank a friend of mine. He's a retired physician. You probably know him, William. He goes by Pat. And we want to thank you, Pat, for watching. I've known him quite a while. We used to play Scrabble together. So, Pat, great to hear you joining my live feed. And again, anybody who wants to call and talk politics, tell a joke, try to stump the DJ with music, I'm all ears. 740-383-9944. Thanks again, Joshua in Pennsylvania, for watching and for listening. He's a little younger than a lot of our listeners. We were talking about we have listeners of all ages, and it's cool to see people 20s, 30s, up to 100-plus who partake in this live run and broadcasted radio station, which is only going to get better. Let's go ahead and do a little bit of tech news, and we'll wait for some phone calls from our listeners, 740-383-9944. If I don't mess up using the equipment, hopefully I can know how to take one of said telephone calls. Yep, Joshua is 27 years old. You know, Joshua, I'm more than twice as old as you are. And I was 27 once. I think, who was president when I was 27? I think it was John Quincy Adams. Maybe that's why my name is Adam. Who knows? Anyway, we talk, William, if you want to go ahead and provide some feedback. You're not as into vehicles as I am. I'm a car guy, as you know. And
Kind
of a man thing, I guess. You know, men love their cars.
True.
And their vehicles.
True. I won't go into that comment that I had popped in my head, but
people don't always drive the car in the traditional manner.
No.
I have a car that's rear-wheel drive. My goodness, that's hard to say at 10 o'clock in the morning. And automatic. I'm more used to the stick shift or manual shift, manual transmission, and front-wheel drive. But, you know, the car did pretty well in the snow. So I guess I give it not enough credit. But we also have cars that are driven by robot. They are self-driving. We talk about that a lot. The Teslas are high-tech cars. The Chevrolets are working on the self-driving or autonomous vehicles. And, of course, planes have autopilot. Many vehicles are not driven by the human being per se, and we do talk about this a lot. Is I kind of like the idea of being in the driver's seat in front of the wheel, kind of controlling what I do, and I guess that's why I like stick shift. But I can deal with the automatic. You know, a lot of people under 30 don't even know what stick shift is. Something tells me Joshua probably has a stick shift, but you know, people under 30, under 40. If I told them, I can drive a 6-speed, you know, manual, and I drive it really well, they think, "What are you nuts? What kind of a crazy old school vehicle are you driving?" A strategic partnership with Microsoft was announced last week by General Motors and Cruise, aimed at speeding up the commercialization of shared self-driving vehicles. Microsoft will be joining General Motors, Honda, and some institutional investors in adding $2 billion to Cruise's coffers, bringing the value of the shared self-driving vehicle company to 30 billion smackaroonies. And that would be dollars. The companies in this sector are going to need a long runway before they generate enough revenue to be self-sustaining. So another $2 billion in the bank for Cruise is the single most important aspect of this. And that comes from Sam Abuel Samid. That's a great name. Sam Abuel Samid. Sounds very musical. Principal analyst for e-mobility at Guidehouse Insights, market intelligence company in Detroit. GM and its investors are trying to scare off competitors. That comes from Roger Langtot from Strategy Analytics, an analytics firm which does a lot of strategies, which might be logical. This is an intimidation game, he said. There are dozens of robo-taxi wannabes, but there are also shuttle bus operators like Beep, Beep, throughout the world, building revenue-generating businesses around autonomous vehicles operating within narrowly defined geofenced or fixed routes. Or is it routes? I always say routes, but some people say routes. But routes, that was a TV show. The $2 billion investment buys Cruise more time, but it will not magically create a functioning revenue-generating service. Mike Ramsey, a VP at Gartner. He's in the Automotive and Smart Mobility Department. He found it interesting that Microsoft is making a long-term commitment to a company that's potentially a customer for its stuff. He said Microsoft provides services like a giant cloud computing offering that is used to develop these self-driving vehicles. However, both companies may benefit from the new partnership. For Cruise, it might mean greater access to talent and resources for Microsoft and for Microsoft. It helps to create expertise in high-performance computing related to autonomy, where one of the biggest competitors, Google, already has an in-house AV company that's autonomous vehicle in the form of Waymo. So, William, what do you think so far about this self-drive? Would you get into a self-driving car, or would you rather have a human being at the wheel?
I'd rather have somebody driving me or drive it myself. I don't know if I trust the technology enough yet.
Yeah, I like, you know, again, I like to be in control of the car. I get jittery as a passenger sometimes. I can deal with the automatic. I like the automatic braking, especially in this kind of weather, but I want to feel like I'm in control, that I'm behind the wheel. As someone who's in the technology business, I have trepidation about trusting a computer to do almost anything. And driving, you know, that's a human being activity.
Exactly.
So
there's judgment calls that a computer just doesn't have your best interest in mind.
Again, we are taking phone calls if you want to talk about self-driving cars, about politics, music, or anything else of interest. Don't be shy. We don't bite. That's BYTE, by the way. 740-383-9944. In the studio again with me is semi-famous artist extraordinaire, Mr. William Obenauer, discussing the artwork that he's done. We'll talk a little more about that, but feel free to call if you want to give him a compliment, because I tell you, his work is pretty good. Ask him a question or even tell a joke. Well, that's fine. We're all ears here. Anyway, we quoted Sam Abuel-Samid earlier. He explained that all the companies in this sector are going to have to use cloud providers, whether it be Azure, which is part of Microsoft, AWS, Google Cloud, or Baidu, the famous cloud provider in China. They need the cloud platforms during the research and development phase to handle all the data that they're collecting from their test vehicles, to do simulation, to do artificial intelligence training, and all the other things they have to do. Longer term, if they do start to commercialize, they are going to need cloud platforms to do fleet dispatch and other stuff. It doesn't make sense for these companies to build their own clouds. Reminds me of that Rolling Stones song, William. Hey, hey, get off of my cloud. Hey, you, get off of my cloud. See, you can go ahead and sing a few bars, and I'll continue singing if you want. I kind of miss going to karaoke, which was a BC activity before Corona. So if I break out into song, excuse me, I have more of a talking voice, but that's okay. At least I have fun. Anyway, he said once you commercialize it and decide to go to multiple cities and multiple countries, scaling that platform is really hard. It's something that companies like Microsoft, Google, and Amazon know how to do. And you would think with all the money Amazon has, they would have mastered it by now. As I say, what Jeff Bezos lacks in hair, he certainly makes up for in his bank account. Cloud resources are required to develop and launch an autonomous vehicle-based robo-taxi operation. But it's not immediately clear that Azure, again a cloud platform from Microsoft, has any extraordinary advantages over competing alternatives like Google or AWS, which is Amazon Web Services. The same Amazon Web Services that booted off Parler. That was a great controversial activity. I want to thank Susan from the west side of the capital city of Columbus for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully it's not too scary, but if it is, well, Halloween is coming before we know it. While I'd be inclined to suggest that Microsoft has more to gain and desperately needed credibility in the automotive space than General Motors, the $2 billion investment has clearly juiced GM stock. And that comes from Sam Abuel-Samid, who we quoted earlier. So Microsoft gains automotive cred, and GM gets a stock boost. But it really doesn't move the needle on advancing autonomous vehicles or the actual creation of a robo-taxi service. Kind of sounds like the Jetsons with the robo-taxi. Again, I'd rather be behind the wheel in a car that I drive myself. You know, I'm still trying to get used to automatic transmission, let alone an automatic driver. Microsoft has some useful cloud-based tools to support automotive vehicle development and operation, but the hurdles standing in the path of autonomous vehicle robo-taxis do not reside in the cloud. They are right here on terra firma. He added that robo-taxis do not offer any clear benefits to consumers. If the goal is to deliver a robo-taxi, this is a replacement of an existing and perfectly adequate and affordable solution. It is not demand-driven unless they want to make it free. Jared from the great city of Mansfield, again, known for the great movie, The Shawshank Redemption. You've seen that movie, right, William?
Yes.
With Morgan Freeman, who made a famous line, which I've quoted a lot during the current situation, get busy living or get busy dying. And for those who read my Facebook, I've chosen to get busy living. And living is fun. Living
exactly.
is good. And I'm glad that I can continue to do that. I lost my father just over a year ago, and I miss him and my mom and all my grandparents every day. And I'm thankful I get up every day and I can live and do my stuff, which includes going on the radio and making a fool of myself, but that's part of the fun. So anyway, Jared asked before I started yapping, but I wanted to give the great Morgan Freeman a plug. You talk about a voice. I mean, he kind of, a little like our own golden voice, Ted Williams, a similar kind of a voice. The residents just love Morgan Freeman. What a treasure. And what a great, if you haven't seen The Shawshank Redemption, get it, because you'll see parts of Mid-Ohio in the movie. With Tim Robbins as the star, Morgan Freeman, and many other great actors and actresses. But anyway, enough of that. Jared was asking what kind of art William does, so why don't you go ahead and answer that question for our friend Jared.
Well, I work in primarily photorealism, but I enjoy doing a combination of photorealism as well as abstract. So a combination of that is a little bit more fun. You do a little bit of pockets of photorealism, or you know, do the Korean War mural that I'm doing in the county building is all photorealism. So that's taking a long time. Although I did do a under the sea mural at Harding Arbor Seafood in the Harding Hotel downtown Marion, which is another beautiful. Piece that took me a couple months to do that interior space for Chef Chris Rennick at Harding Arbor Seafood. It's a great restaurant for downtown for sure, and food is excellent. And
One of my favorite eating joints was Ponderosa, as we've talked about, and it was a shame they were so popular when they opened, then they closed, and I miss them. You know me, I like to get my money's worth at a buffet.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite restaurant in Marion or in did you go to that place with the fried bologna in Waldo? That's world famous.
I never have been there. It's been a popular place that I know of, but I've never actually been able to go into the space and dine. But I'd have to say a toss between Barry's restaurant downtown is one of my favorites. Really enjoy going there, and Marcella is excellent. And then again, now the Harding Arbor Seafood is my that, and Attaboy's is also great because you know
we're pretty close to Tubby's Pizza up here. They're well known, and do you eat there at all?
I believe I have quite a few years ago, but since myself nowadays I have to go gluten free, I have to be very mindful of what I do put in. More than ever.
Yeah, I feel your pain. If I couldn't eat pizza, that would be really... If I couldn't eat pizza or Chinese food, I'd be a very unhappy boy, I tell you. We're taking phone calls here. I have a guest, William Obenauer, a local artist who's done so much for this great city. Call us. We're happy to talk to you. 740-383-9944. That's the number, and I'm live on a Facebook video. looking hopefully not too bad. Because, you know, I'm not really a morning person, but that's how we roll here at the great WWGH Radio. Going to go into an interesting news story in a second, but your father, William, he's a very interesting dude.
Yeah.
Fascinating guy. He's a walking encyclopedia of the great city of Marion.
Well, he's taking a lot.
And I'm just honored to be friends with him also. Do you think he maybe is one of the most knowledgeable Marion historians in this area? How do you think he ranks with other people who are like, the, you know, our own Mike Wilson? And you've been on with Mike Wilson.
Yeah.
He is a walking encyclopedia of the Mount Gilead, Morrow County area, but he does extend to this county in Mid-Ohio.
Exactly, yeah.
Your dad, again, he just knows all... He's a photographer.
Yeah.
And he's a handyman, a builder, man of many talents, many more than myself. How do you think he compares all time with the Marion historians? Is he that walking history book, like I'm saying?
And fairly, you think his knowledge fairly continues? Much. Says, yeah. Fairly much. I would have to compare him with Randy Winland and Mike Perry, other local, history buffs, I would say.
And just fascinating, all the history here. We know Warren G. Harding.
Yeah.
And many presidents that are from Ohio. And it's much more than that. You know, me, it's like I constantly talk about the Shawshank Redemption and just the filming of movies here. The movie Traffic with Michael Douglas, it was filmed in Columbus and Cincinnati. So we do have Hollywood connections here, but the history is just fascinating. And Ohio just being so diverse... The three C's, Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, they're all very different cities. And for cities somewhat close to each other, that I think is unique. And that's why Ohio is just a battleground for all these elections, because of our diversity and the way we kind of mimic the population as a whole of this great country that we're living. We have a celebrity who's watching our video, Ben Gelber, the weatherman. Hello, Ben. Yeah, you are one of my favorite weathermen. I have watched you since... I moved back to the capital city in 87. You are the cerebral, consummate weatherman. We have our own, of course, celebrity weatherman. Give me a sec. Bob Nunley, of course. How could I possibly forget his name? But Ben Gelber, you're one of my favorites. And thank you for watching, taking time out of your day. And weather's a little tricky out there. But, you know, even on my low-to-the-ground, rear-wheel drive automatic car, I got to the studio in one piece. And I thank weathermen like and weatherwomen like yourself for doing such a great job keeping us safe and keeping us fascinated with the great phenomena of the environment, which I'll never stop being fascinated by. Taking your phone calls, folks, 740-383-9944. Live in the studio with William, a local artist here in Marion, talking about technology, politics, interesting news stories, and whatever else we can get a handle on. Want to remind you, fine folks, that even if you're not in the great city of Marion, you can listen to WWGH Radio anywhere in the universe with an internet connection. Just go to our website, WWGH1071.com, or if you have a smartphone, or a not-so-smartphone, because sometimes my phone is more like a stupid phone, download the app, tune in, search for WWGH, and you can listen that way. Much more programming coming up later today at about 15 after 4. The lovely Linda Sims comes on, always with interesting guests, taking your calls and great conversation. As I talked to Scott about earlier, she is a mainstay, longstanding broadcaster in the Marion area. Glad to have her. And then it's Mike Wilson, who also has great guests coming up at about 15 after 5. He is a historian and walking encyclopedia of interesting knowledge. Plus, he likes puns and goofing off kind of like I do in the cerebral way. He's coming on just after the 5 o'clock features. If you would like to be a supporter of the Adam the Computer Guy radio program and or mid-morning coffee break with Adam, that would be wonderful. You will get mentions on our website, on our Facebook page throughout the day. And you'd be surprised how inexpensive said support is. And since I can do the website, help with the Facebook, take care of the email, you know you'll be getting excellent service. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. I tell people, William, about our private email server, which I do curate and take care of and program. Mm-hmm. But unlike the private email server of a certain wife and former presidential candidate, that is Hillary Rodham Clinton, we don't delete any messages. We read every single one of them, even if they're junk. So even if you want to email me and say, hi, Adam, how you doing? Or say, Adam, you're nuts. Or, Adam, I wanted you to discuss this on the show sometime. That's fine. Adam at WWGH1071.com. That's the number. And I would love to hear from you. Coming up on approximately a quarter before 11 Eastern Standard Time. If you're in California, it's a quarter before 7. And you're up kind of early, but that's fine. Not a bad day outside in the weather department. It's not quite as slippery as it looks, but I still encourage you to drive carefully. Please don't text and drive, and please don't drink and drive. Always keep your eyes on the road and be safe. That's an important thing. Safety first when driving the great streets of the Buckeye State. French woman Jean Pochain. Probably not pronouncing that right, but I took German, not French. So I pronounce your name very well, William, but French always throws me for a loop. French woman Jean Pochain has an unusual problem. She's officially deceased. She's been trying for 3 years to prove that she is alive. She's 58 years old. She lives in constant fear, not daring to leave her house in the village of St. Joseph in the Loiret region, which probably is not the correct pronunciation. Again, I took German, not French, so I do apologize. Authorities seized her car over an unpaid debt that she contests, and which is the center of her troubles. She fears the family furniture will be next. Pochain's state... God, I have five people watching my video. I'm very impressed. Anyway, I want to say hi to David in South Carolina, one of my watchers. Thank you very much, David, for watching. He's been on the show with me, too. We talked about some somewhat controversial topics, so it's in the archives if you want to hear said controversial topics, because that's part of the fun. Anyway, Pochain's status has prevented her and her husband, who is her legal beneficiary along with her son, from using their joint bank account. Being declared deceased has deprived her of other critical amenities. She said, I no longer exist. I didn't do anything. I sit on the veranda and write. She called her situation macabre. Macabre, yeah, macabre. That's kind of a weird word, but it's a good word. Pochain's status as deceased is the result of a 2017 court decision that deemed her dead, even though no death certificate was produced. The decision came at the end of a legal dispute with an employee of Pochain's former cleaning company, who was seeking compensation after losing her job 20 years ago. But the initial complaint in France's Prudhomme Workers' Court misfired, falling on Pochain, whose lawyer claims her company had no responsibility for the dismissal. A series of legal proceedings, decisions, and appeals followed, all the way to the Court of Cassation, which is France's highest court, kind of like our Supreme Court, which dismissed the case as outside its domain, according to her and her lawyer, Sylvain Cormier. Cormier I can pronounce. I can do the I-E-R. That I can do. But again, I apologize to any native French speakers, as English is my main language. I can pronounce Spanish pretty well, and I took German, but French, always found that to be a hard language, and I admire people who can speak it.
Oui, oui.
And you're in the restaurant business, William, so you've probably had French food that you've encountered.
Oh, escargot.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Furley on All in the Family says escargots, which I think is just hilarious, but I say escargots. Now, I want to let folks know that our very own interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, who preceded me, spoke with... Oh, we have a phone call. So let's answer the phone and let's see if I can go ahead and use this thing properly. Good morning. You're on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam.
Well, Adam, I heard you son have an interesting guest on your show, which you have, but I haven't heard too much talk out of him. Would you please address some more questions to him?
Sure.
And his answers. And,
yeah, go right ahead. You can hear the call.
Very interesting. William,
put your headphones on. Hold on a second. He's got to put his headphones on.
All right.
Give me a second here. Give me 1 second. I'm sorry, sir. Go right ahead and start from the beginning about the questions for my guest.
I'm ready.
Sir, are you there? Okay. I guess we lost our caller. Caller, go ahead and call back. I apologize. I should have told him to put the headphones on, but that's okay. You can blame me for that. He wanted just to hear a little more from you. So go ahead, for those who've joined the show a little late, just recapitulate what it is that you do with your artwork here in the great city of Marion, and what are some of your plans in the future?
Well, I right now was doing a lot of pet portraits, people portraits, whatever I was drawn to. But more recently, in the past year, I've been doing interior and exterior murals locally here in Marion. I have some exterior mural spaces coming up this summer, fall, but right now just me, myself, and I, doing these projects. But although I did have an assistant that helped me at Harding Harbor Seafood, Lauren Baker, she was fun and adorable, so. But enjoying doing photorealism, a little abstract here and there, depending upon the painting. Mural-wise, it's I work with more photorealism to depict a scene.
You sometimes take photographs and turn them into paintings.
Exactly,
Do you do oil, watercolor, or do you mixture, or do you have a favorite substrate, both for the canvas itself and for the paint?
For canvases, I enjoy doing oils as well as acrylic, but oils at times take way too long to dry, so I enjoy acrylics, and at times even acrylics dry a little too slow for me.
You are listening to Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp, that's I, and my special guest, a local artiste. Like, artiste, that's a good word. JJ on Good Times always said that. William Obenauer. We were talking about a woman in France who is trying to prove to the government and the world that she is still living after being declared deceased. Was mentioning about Mr. Furley on Three's Company, a favorite show of mine, a Big Don Knotts fan, may he rest in peace, that he would pronounce escargots, escargots, which always gets me to giggle. Of course, our own Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars, but in this case, Adam, the nobody, had a chance to talk to the daughter of Don Knotts, the actor who played Mr. Furley, Deputy Fife, and a bunch of other great characters. He was live in the studio when we were at the hearing aid building. Great lady, Karen Knotts, Don Knotts' daughter. So we have connections even to Three's Company, plus Mr. Rogers and who knows what else. I mean, goodness sakes, William, last Wednesday during Inauguration Day, right before the inauguration, Phil Donahue, native of Dayton, not far from here, was on with Scott Spears, not in the studio, but they were live on the phone. So, we do some things that stations and other cities can only dream about. Got a few minutes left here. Still taking your phone calls now that our guest has his headphones on, and you can blame me for that. 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. Speaking of exciting cities in the Midwest, Columbus is actually the second largest city by population, and probably by area, too, in the Midwest. Columbus is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's extended to the Mid-Ohio area, and Marion, Chillicothe, Newark, etc., continuing to flourish and only getting better. But, the biggest city in the Midwest is a place that I love to go to. Great drinking establishments, great ethnic neighborhoods, all kinds of professional sports teams, some of the best architecture in the world. Of course, that's Chicago. Chicago. Okay, well, I'll just not sing the song anyway. A lot of controversy in Chicago. They have a mayor who, you love her or you hate her. I would say my opinion is of the latter. But that's fine. Controversy adds to the fun. Thousands of Chicago's educators are refusing to head back into school today. And it's an hour earlier there, so it's just at the beginning of school time there in the Windy City. Following a weekend vote from its teachers' union to defy a district order asking them to return to the classroom in preparation for resuming in-person learning. Chicago Public Schools, the nation's third largest district, wanted roughly 10,000 kindergarten through eighth grade teachers and other staffers to return to work this morning to get ready to welcome back 70,000 students. Twice the population of Marion, William, that's the number of students in Chicago Public Schools. That's a big district. Anyway, for part-time in-school classes starting February 1st. But now, following the vote, the district has pushed back the expected return day for their staff to Wednesday, the 27th, in hopes of securing an agreement with the teachers' union over their concerns about the spread of the coronavirus. Yesterday, the public school district said in a message to families, the scheduled return date for students in grades kindergarten through 8 remains Monday, February 1st, a week from today. Can you imagine that? February starts in a week. Time flies! And it is our goal to reach an agreement with the teachers' union as soon as possible to ensure tens of thousands of additional students have the opportunity to safely return to our classrooms. Students in over 130 private and parochial schools and over 2,000 early learning centers across Chicago have been safely learning in their classrooms since the fall, and we must provide that same option to our families who, through no fault of their own, have been unable to make remote learning work for their children. We've seen grades, attendance, and enrollment drop significantly for many of our students in recent months, and the impact has been felt mostly by Black and Latino students. The statement also said, Chicago Public Schools agreed to a request from the union to delay the return of kindergarten through 8 teachers to Wednesday, but union officials called that inaccurate and accused the district of seeking to sow dissent and disrupt collective union action. I'm kind of an English guru. I like to get these pronunciations right. Chicago Public Schools unilaterally made the decision to move the return date for K through 8 teachers back to Wednesday the 27th, the union wrote in its own statement. The union currently has no agreement with the district on any terms. The union president, Jesse Sharkey, said the overwhelming majority of our members have chosen safety, unity, and solidarity, and an agreement is within reach, but we need a willing partner. So more controversy there in the Windy City, and you know, William, the political ramifications of the events, and they pretty much kicked off about a year ago, about January of last year. From a analysis standpoint, it's obviously a tragic circumstance, but it's just fascinating how the politics, I think, have outweighed the actual underlying issue, and it affects schools, it affects businesses. It has just divided people with their schools of thought, and you know, if you read my Facebook, you're aware that I have my own opinions, and I also have been known to modify, to fine-tune these opinions. We have a phone call coming in. We love it when the phone rings. Good morning. You are on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and my special guest.
Yes, I'm interested in your special guest. I've never heard any of his background, where he got his start, where he's from, and the roundabout Marion, how he's related to, and stuff like that. All I hear is the other chatter about worldwide news or something like that, but I appreciate it there, Adam, if you could ask him a few questions, interview him there before you go off.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes. Yeah. Go ahead and ask William a question. He's saying.
I'm listening.
Thank you.
Did you have a question for him, sir? Okay, well, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, William, and just speak a bit about your
went to Pleasant Schools, born and raised here in Marion. Just pretty much self-taught my artistic skills. I did a little bit of Columbus College of Art and Design, but I wasn't really that thrilled with the cookie cuttering of that colleges can do to a person, tear you down to build you up in their way. I prefer to have it my way or no way.
So you are kind of set in how you do your work. And artists, too. You all have your personality, your own methods.
Exactly.
And you can't pigeonhole it. That's like with radio announcers. I mean, we all have our unique way of doing stuff.
But I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing mural-wise now. It's the largest canvases that I've done yet.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you think you'll be kind of doing murals all over the great city of New York? Branch out to New York City? Or what's your kind of your plan at that point?
It really depends upon project by project where I'll end up. You know, I do see myself traveling, you know, possibly around the world. Who knows?
Yeah, but Because miracles, I mean, you have to put your heart and soul in it, and it's something that takes an extended amount of time. And if you're doing outside work, it's the weather. This isn't good weather for outside artistry.
No.
But inside where it's warm and controlled conditions certainly makes it a lot easier.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
There are do you have a favorite? Do you prefer outdoors to indoors? Or is there a particular kind of climate or atmosphere you prefer when doing your art?
I enjoy doing my interior murals right now, especially because of the chilly weather outside. Don't care to have my assets chilled to the bone.
Yeah. We want to thank our guest, taking our caller, thank our guest, William Obenauer, a local artisan here in Marion. We'll have him back on again. He's been on with Mike Wilson also as part of a show about the great artwork that he and other talented folks do in Marion. Adam Lepp here getting ready to sign off, and I do want to thank you for listening. We get together every Monday, 10:13 a.m. to 11, Tuesday and Thursday, about 2:13 p.m. until 3, to talk politics, computers, local events, and other fun stuff. We have news and features coming up next. Again, Linda Sims right after the 4 o'clock features, and Mike Wilson right after 5. Have a great day, folks!